This podcast homily is a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church and is prepared for Epiphany season. Welcome to this podcast homily for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. The focus of today's podcast is two examples of divine healing from Matthew 8, 1-13, the healing of the leper and of the centurion's servant. This podcast homily is available on the website www.anglicaninternetchurch on the podcast homilies page. The epistle reading for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany is another morality and responsibility homily from St. Paul found in Romans 13, verses 1 to 7. In this lesson, we find traditional Christian thinking about the source of governmental authority. Or in Paul's words, the powers that be are ordained of God. The obligation of those in civil authority to promote good and not evil, or in St. Paul's words, for the rulers are not a terror to good works but to the evil. And the duties imposed on citizens to comply with just governance. This principle is entirely consistent with Old Testament and New Testament scripture. In the Old Testament, it was Cyrus of Persia who made possible the return to Jerusalem from the long exile in Babylon and the building of the Second Temple. In the New Testament, Jesus spoke of the obligation to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which was God's. The principle is taught in every instance of morning prayer and in the prayer for all in civil authority. When the faithful are called upon to pray for civil leaders, and civil leaders are reminded of their obligations. Other denominations, especially the liturgical ones, also teach this understanding concerning civil authority granted by the will of God for the preservation of civil order. St. Paul, however, does offer a qualification in the final verse in the reading, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." That's Romans 13, verse 7. There is the implication that honor is not due to the dishonorable, but St. Paul wisely avoided actually saying so. The Gospel reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity, Matthew 8, 1-13, tells of two important events which come just days after Jesus had come down from the mountain, meaning the Mount of Olives, after delivering the Sermon on the Mount and offering the Lord's Prayer to his disciples. St. Matthew tells us that great multitudes were now following him. The first incident, which St. Matthew reveals, is Jesus' encounter with the leper. This event is also described in the two other synoptic Gospels in Mark 1, verses 40-45, and Luke 5, 12-16. In the companion blog post for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, linked from our homepage, I've included an illustration from the healing of the leper from the Life of Christ by Canon Farrar, published in 1894. Under the Mosaic Code or Law, lepers were considered unclean and could not worship in the temple nor be part of the community. In Leviticus 7:21 is a prohibition against anyone touching a leper. In that tradition, only a temple priest could heal or purify a leper, and there was an appointed process for healing a leper. Thus, what Jesus did was bound to put him in conflict with Hebrew religious authority. As we enter the scene, a leper presents himself before Jesus. In the presence of the multitude, according to Matthew 8:3, he worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus' reply was concise, and in the eyes of the religious authorities, blasphemous. Here is St. Matthew's account in the NKJV version of 8:34. "Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" The gift that Moses commanded, referred to in verse 4, is found in Leviticus 14:10. 2 male lambs without blemish plus 3/10 of an ephah of flour, the modern equivalent is 3/10 of a bushel, and a quantity of oil. In the early church, led by the work of St. Cyril of Alexandria, the founder of the, or co-founder of the Christian Church's first school of catechism, the event was seen as a parallel to the healing of Miriam the prophetess, sister of Aaron, the first temple priest, in Numbers 12, verses 10 to 15. Miriam and Aaron had defied Moses, and she was punished by the Lord, being made a leper. Aaron pleaded with Moses to ask God for deliverance from her illness, which was considered as evidence of sin. Moses heeded the request and prayed to the Lord for Miriam's healing. "Do not let her be as one dead, like a miscarriage, with its flesh half consumed," from Numbers 12, verse 12 in the SAAS translation. The Lord answered Moses by declaring that Miriam should be shut out of the camp for 7 days. After 7 days, she was cleansed and allowed back into the camp. The parallel drawn by Cyril was that, unlike Moses, Jesus did not need the 7 days required in Numbers to heal the leper. He touched the man, and he was healed. Where Moses needed the mercy of the Lord, Jesus, who is God, the source of the law and also of mercy, was able to provide healing immediately. The word "immediately" was a favorite of St. Matthew and St. Mark, intended to suggest the strength of the divine will. Matthew tells us that the word of this miraculous event quickly spread far and wide, so much so that Jesus had to seek refuge and quiet in the wilderness where he prayed. In episode 25 of our New Testament Gospels and Epistles Bible study course on YouTube, I refer to St. Luke's focus on Jesus' prayer habits as times such as these. The development of similar personal prayer habits is a major topic of Part 3 in the AIC bookstore publication, Christian Spirituality, An Anglican Perspective, available through my author page at Amazon, https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. From the slopes of the Mount of Olives, Jesus and the party, including the multitudes, moved on to the city of Capernaum on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. Although Capernaum was in a predominantly Gentile area, there was a strong Hebrew presence there. And St. John relates several stories of how Jesus dealt with this group of Gentiles leading up to the "Before Abraham was, I am" declaration found in St. John's Gospel in chapter 8, verse 58. At Capernaum, he was visited by a centurion whose servant was paralyzed and in considerable pain. The technical definition of a centurion in the Roman legion is a man who commanded 100 other soldiers. Christian tradition says that this centurion was a Gentile. That the centurion addressed Jesus by the title Lord in Matthew 8:6 in his plea is an acknowledgement of his recognition of Jesus' authority and power, and a sense of certainty that Jesus could heal, which will be demonstrated later in the reading. In the Western Church, the standard understanding is derived from the King James text used in the Book of Common Prayer, in which Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." At least one Koine Greek manuscript suggests that Jesus may instead have asked a question, "Shall I come?" What Jesus does next has a direct parallel to his healing of the leper in the first incident in this reading. By going to the Gentile's house, he again puts himself in conflict with Mosaic law. By going into a place that the Mosaic law, or at least the Hebrew authorities' understanding of it, is an unclean act, and by so doing he makes himself unclean. The centurion's response to Jesus' offer to come with him to his house is in sharp contrast to the uncertainty, indeed to the outright denial of Jesus' authority and power of the Hebrew religious authorities as described in all four Gospels. And for the second time, the centurion grants Jesus the title Lord. These words are clearly one of the inspirations of the Prayer of Humble Access in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. Now here's Matthew 8, verses 8 and 9 in the New King James text. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." The lesson of the reading, and perhaps the reason it was included as this fifth example of the manifestation of Jesus to the Gentiles that we celebrate in the Feast of the Epiphany, comes in Jesus' reply. Note that St. Matthew shows that both Jesus marveled at the man's faith, which is emphasized in the translation by the exclamation point at the end of the first sentence, and his humility, and that Jesus was speaking not only to the centurion, but to those who had followed him from the Mount of Olives, when he said, in verses 10, 11, and 12, "Assuredly I say to you," again meaning the centurion and all those present, "I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel!" "And I say to you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These verses mean that Jesus has now declared that the salvation once offered only to Israel will now be available to Gentiles, and warned those who rejected him of their fate, that is, to be cast into outer darkness, which in the Hebrew understanding meant Sheol, the place of dead souls. There is one other message in this text that is not comfortable for the politically correct, where the popular message in the modern world is generally anti-military. This reference by Jesus to the faith and humility of the centurion acknowledges that his occupation is an honorable one. Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be for you." And Matthew tells us that the centurion's servant was healed at the same hour. My closing prayers for today are a late 4th, early 5th century prayer by St. Augustine of Hippo, celebrating the light manifested to the world, and followed by the prayer book collect for the 4th Sunday after Trinity, which was derived by Archbishop Cranmer from the Gregorian Sacramentary of the late 6th and early 7th century, and is a petition for spiritual protection against the temptations of the secular world. And now the prayer of St. Augustine. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, who hast made us for thyself, so that our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. Grant us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing thy will, no weakness from doing it, but that in thy light we may see light clearly, and in thy service find our perfect freedom. Amen. And now the collect for the fourth Sunday after Trinity. O God, who knowest us to be set in the midst of so many great dangers, that by reason of the frailty of our nature we cannot always stand upright, grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.